I must say I was intimately involved on drafting the national prevention strategy, so it is near and dear to my heart, but I will still ask the tough questions, and I did spend 7.5 years in the New York City Public Department of Health, including with some of my colleagues and former colleagues here, and did have a hand in working on Take Care of New York in the old days, but that's not going to stop me from challenging Dr. Farley on what he's doing with it today. So without further ado, I want to introduce Dr. Tom Farley.
It's nice to see so many familiar faces in the audience. Makes it easier for me to talk in a relaxed way. It also makes me realize how long I've been involved in this business and how old I'm getting. So I want to talk about Take Care of New York, which is our policy agenda for New York City. You could also look at it as our strategic plan for New York City. And I'm going to go through it fairly quickly, and then we'll have an opportunity to discuss it when we get all the questions and answers at the end. First, I got to go through that. And then let's talk about the history of Take Care of New York. Take Care of New York was started not by me, but under my predecessor in New York City in 2004 as a framework to summarize the overall agency priorities. It was meant to try to capture it in a way that was easy for people to remember, and so there were 10 priority areas. That's a number that's easy for people to remember. Each of those areas were selected based upon their public health impact, the fact that they would be amenable to intervention, that they were preventable, and that there was a strong evidence base behind that. For each of those 10 areas, the agency set specific, measurable goals that would be achieved, hopefully, over 4 years. And there were 16 indicators, at least one for each of the 10 goals. And this is somewhat different from where we are today and maybe from some of the others. The primary audiences for original Take Care of New York were individuals and healthcare providers. Not entirely, but it was more directed towards individual healthcare providers than some of the other strategic plans that you may be seeing. That started in 2004. Those goals were for 2008. So we are now in the second iteration of Take Care of New York, which we're calling Take Care of New York 2012. The original Take Care of New York met or surpassed 9 of the original 16 indicator goals. And so we launched this in 2009, and we shifted the emphasis a little bit from the original Take Care of New York, with more emphasis on what we collectively could do to collectively improve our health. So there's more of an emphasis on what organizations can do, more on environmental change, more on policy change. In addition, we added 2 new focus areas based upon feedback we had from the first iteration, one on children and one on neighborhoods. We managed still to have 10 focus areas by combining some of the others. So we still have 10 focus areas. For each of those, we have a core indicator, but our total number of indicators has ballooned up to where we now have 41. Partly that's because we added a health disparities indicator for each of the 10 areas. This is how we shaped this all together. It was mainly put together through internal agency discussions. They were reviewing things like health impact, preventability, looking at trends, what we felt we could take advantage of, what we thought we were up swimming against the stream on. And to be honest, we had limited input from other government agencies, from community-based organizations, and from a formal advisor group that the agency has. The sort of data that we looked at is first data that probably everybody has, which would be mortality data. But then we also looked at data that was a little better than that, I think. Around the time that we were developing this, we were also trying to calculate the disability-adjusted life years for different health problems in New York City, which ultimately led to this. We had to do some assumptions and some estimating in order to apply this to the local level. But this would be our leading health problems in New York as ranked by Dolly's. Heart disease, number one, but then you see other things that don't appear on your mortality list showing up here, such as major depression, such as alcohol use, such as asthma. So this was one of the inputs that we used in setting priorities. We also looked at what are underlying behaviors and exposures and conditions which contribute to death, and try to figure out how many deaths we could attribute to those underlying behaviors. This was an analysis which we are publishing now, which took national data and tried to, again, apply it to the local level for a group of risk factors that have been well established that we could make these calculations on, and how many deaths can be attributable to those. So that by this ranking, smoking is our number one killer in New York City, followed by overweight and obesity, high blood pressure, high blood glucose, physical inactivity, not much farther down alcohol use. This is a good way of looking at health problems because these are the sort of targets that we can actually have an impact on. It does have its limits, though, because not everything that's a health risk were we able to put into this analysis. Not all of them have been characterized well enough to be able to measure here. Nonetheless, this was another one of the inputs we looked at in setting the overall priorities. So we ended up with our 10 target areas, or 10 focus areas, and here's what they are. Our focus area and our core indicator and then our target for 2012. So we have one for promoting healthcare, with the idea that if we do a good job with primary care, we can prevent hospitalizations. We have be tobacco free. We group physical activity and healthy eating into one item. We have be heart healthy, and this is about clinical preventive services, specifically blood pressure control, cholesterol control. We have one for stopping the spread of HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. We have one for recognizing and treating depression, tying back to that Dolly slide that you saw there. We have one for alcohol and drug use, one for early screening and treatment of cancer. And then we have our item for children, which has a lot of different features in it, our core indicator being teen pregnancies. And then we have one on making all neighborhoods healthy places, recognizing the impact of the environment on health quite broadly, and a number of our environmental health ideas are in there. And again, for each of these, we have a 2012 target that's very specific. The audience for this we see as being what you see listed here. It includes healthcare providers and individuals, but also includes other city agencies, schools, community-based organizations, businesses, etc. Now, for each of those focus areas, we have strategies laid out, and we group the strategies in three categories. There's a group called policies. There's one called prevention, quality, and access. This really has to do with healthcare, how we're going to try to improve our healthcare systems to address that particular focus area. And then one for health promotion. This includes all of our education and communication efforts. And because this was broader than the original Take Care New York, and because we recognize that there's a limit to what health departments can do, it's got more of an emphasis on partnerships. So it's not necessarily what the health department can do, but it is what a variety of organizations can do to achieve success in that focus area. Now, those strategies are laid out in ways in which we tried very hard to communicate very well, very simply. So we have brief, specific, plain English, as much as we could, summaries of what we're trying to do. So this is taken literally from our Take Care New York book: reduce salt in processed food, make HIV testing, make voluntary HIV testing routine, increase access to condoms. Something real simple, so everybody who reads this, no matter how specialized they are, know what we're trying to do. Now, having put together the strategic plan and recognizing that there are limits to what the health department can do, and we need other organizations to do things, we invited other organizations to become official Take Care New York partners. Initially, to become a partner, all they needed to do was simply fill out a card that says they want to be a partner. So we have 575 organizations that say that they are Take Care New York partners, and here's the profile of what they are. Because of the history of this plan, they lean towards healthcare providers, but we have a number of nonprofit organizations as well. But then we decided we wanted partners to be more than just somebody who signs on to this. We want them to do something concrete. So we came up with what we call ideas for action, which are simple steps that partners could commit to do in writing and then follow through and do. They're achievable, and we grouped them separately, those for healthcare providers and those for everybody else. And then we asked partners to tell us that they're going to do this, and we track that. So of the 575 partners, we have more than 300 now who say that they're taking on one or more of these ideas for actions. And we've got about 50 of them, so there's a lot of different things they can choose from. These are the actions that are the most frequently signed up for: distributing condoms, joining our electronic health record project, becoming a member of a coalition for colon cancer prevention, joining our smoke-free coalition, and our HIV testing initiative. But the list goes on pretty long after that. And then now we are tracking our progress. We're about halfway through. And this is an example of one of our core goals. It's consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages. We were at 36% back in 2007, trying to bring that down to 29%. This is percentage of people on our annual telephone survey that say that they're consuming one or more of these beverages on a daily basis. And this is one of the indicators where it looks like we might be able to meet it, which would be great. So that's our plan. And just thinking back on it, what are what I would consider to be our successes and our limitations for this entire process? First of all, I consider a success that it really does help us set our priorities internally and focus internally. We're a large agency. We have 6,000 employees, many different programs. We want people to be thinking what's important and know in all the little decisions that are made every day what they should set in priorities for. And so laying them out there really helps do that. It also gives us a proactive rather than just a reactive agenda. For us, probably like everyone else in the room, we are constantly being pushed to do all sorts of things that really have very little impact on health. It can be anything from rat control to some sort of complaint from citizens or something else. And that takes time to do. And that could easily overwhelm everything that we focus on. This gives us a to-do list that we ought to be setting higher priority than all the reactive things that we will nonetheless have to respond to. By communicating this as broadly as possible, it helps direct some external resources towards key problems. These are not external resources that we control, but there are many people out there who want to do something on health and want some guidance as to what that really translates into. Also, by laying out these key indicators and saying we're going to be holding ourselves accountable to them, it sends a message about accountability for outcomes. In government, we're often asked to be accountable for process. How many widgets did you produce? I would like very much to be accountable to an outcome, such as reducing smoking rates, and then we figure out ourselves how to achieve that. And so this sends a message that we care about outcomes, we know what the ones that that are important, and then we're going to try to hold ourselves accountable to those. Nonetheless, there are some limitations to this. By coming up with just 10 focus areas, there are some parts of the agency, even some fairly large parts, that are left out, where people say, I don't see myself anywhere in the strategic plan, and that's a problem. Likewise, there are partners that we work with that we care about a lot who also don't see themselves in this plan, who feel left out. And as a result of that, as we went through the process of developing these, there's a pressure for more initiatives, more indicators. As you can see, the number of indicators increased from the first iteration to the second iteration. And the more initiatives and indicators you have, the more you lose focus. And then we did have a problem with when we published the second iteration of 2012, being in a sort of focused media environment in New York City, that some general language in there ended up being interpreted by the press as we're going to do something specifically, and we sort of had an advance leaking to the press of these initiatives, and we had to try to explain ourselves before we were really ready to explain how we were going to put something together. Nonetheless, we think the successes are greatly outweigh limitations, and this has been a great program for us to really focus our attention. And I will talk more about it when we get to the group session, but just in case anybody's interested, I've got about a dozen of these books up here, Take Care of New York, describe it all, and you can download them from the web. And I'll stop there. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom. I just note a couple of lessons before we bring up Linda here, just to prompt the questions. I mean, interesting that you have more partners in 2012 and focus on being clear, both with your own actions and indicators as well as potential partner actions. Note that it was written by the New York City Department of Health alone without partners, but encourages partner action. Directing external resources by setting priorities, very good, and accountability. I also just want to mention that in the original Take Care New York release, one of the press dings, as you mentioned, the media environment, was one note said something about posting calories on menu labels. Lots of controversy then, and you look years later of New York's leadership now in the federal law in the Affordable Care Act. So lots of good work there. Thank you, Tom. And I think I'm going the wrong way.